This Sunday will be my third sermon addressing Corona before we celebrate Easter Sunday. After Easter Sunday, I will return to our study of Romans. Last week, I preached from Luke chapter 5 as Jesus healed the leper and brought him out of quarantine. If you recall, I mentioned the similarities between leprosy and corona, as they are both a disease of separation or quarantine. We have people all over the globe right now that are separated from loved ones, living a life of loneliness as they either have corona or suspect that they have corona. The leper in Luke chapter 5 sought out the great physician, Jesus Christ, to heal him of his leprosy. And if you remember in that story in Luke chapter 5, Jesus did something incredible for that particular time and day as lepers were considered unclean. Jesus reached out and touched him. And when Jesus touched the leper, Luke tells us that the leper immediately became clean. His whole life was transformed. He went from having to live a life of separation to a life of society. He could interact with people. He could touch people. He didn't have to declare as he walked down the street that he was unclean. It was life-changing. Leprosy in the Bible has always been used as an analogy for sin. Just as leprosy is a separator, sin also is a separator. And I mentioned that last week, that just as leprosy separates people from society, sin separates people from God. And the only person that can heal that separation is Jesus Christ, who is known as the great physician, because he is the only one that can restore that relationship with God. And just as I did last week, I'll also do the same thing this week. If you are listening in today and you aren't a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, I would ask that you ask Christ into your heart. Ask for forgiveness of your sins so that the great physician can heal you, that he can bring you out of quarantine and you can have a great, wonderful relationship with the Lord and experience the Lord in all of his goodness and mercy. I'm going to continue on today with this theme of leprosy in my sermon because I felt it has such great comparisons. But before I do that, I do have to say that I am longing for things to return to normal. The death and suffering that we witness on TV is weighing heavy on me, as I know it is on you as well. It's very depressing to look at how many people are suffering all over the world because of corona. I'm praying for our leaders, and I'm praying for our healthcare professionals. And I'm also praying that God raise up another Jonas Salk. And for people that are younger in our listening audience, you may not know who Jonas Salk is, but Jonas Salk was the developer of the polio vaccine, and he took that fear away from society, the fear of polio, back in the 50s, and transformed society. And I pray that God raises up another Jonas Salk so that we too could rid the world of corona. I've read that a vaccine is 12 to 18 months away. I can only imagine what a day that will be when we can receive a vaccine and life returns back to normal. However, I will say that I have read some experts who say that parts of our society will never return back to normal or life pre-corona, if you will, that there will be some aspects of our life that will be forever changed. Some workers might discover that they enjoy working from home and they'll continue to do so. Some have argued that public events may not be as popular as they were pre-corona, that you won't have as many people go to the cinema. Broadway shows will not have the same attendance. It may also take years for the travel industry to be restored. The cruise industry, who's been so damaged because of corona, may never get back to the previous levels that they once enjoyed. In other words, corona will be one of those pivotal events in history, just like World War II was in the last century. It was a transformative event. And I do believe that corona will be a transformative event for years to come. From a spiritual standpoint, I can tell you that I am really longing to get back to a physical pulpit and preach in a physical sanctuary and look out among my congregation as I deliver a sermon. While it's an acceptable way to deliver sermons as we're all facing this idea of social distancing, it's nothing like being in a sanctuary with brothers and sisters in Christ and having a weekly fellowship, and I long for that to get back to normal. I hope that I never take that for granted in the way that I may have taken that for granted in the past. And while I long for that restoration, I'm also hoping that some things don't go back to normal, because I know that there are people out there that may have grown closer to the Lord during this time and read their Bibles and prayed and talked about the Lord. And I hope that those people don't go back to a pre-corona way of life. And with that being said, I have a perfect example for that in our focal passage today, and you'll find that in Luke chapter 17, as we read about a group of people who forgot about God after their life was transformed. So if you will, join me in your Bibles, turn to the 17th chapter of Luke, and we'll begin in verse 11. It reads, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he," referring to Jesus, "that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Just as I preached from Luke chapter 5 last week, Jesus encounters a group of lepers. Luke 5, he encountered one leper. Here he finds a group of lepers who are in quarantine. They're removed from society because of their disease. This is why Luke tells us in verse 5 that they stood afar off. In today's modern vernacular, it could read that they were socially distanced from Jesus. Social distancing isn't new. The lepers of that day had to socially distance themselves. Apparently, the 10 who were demanded to be separated from society because of their leprosy decided to band together so that they would at least have some form of community and socializing together. In fact, you can see how strong the need is for people to commune together because Luke tells us that one is a Samaritan. Jews normally did not associate themselves with Samaritans. This is poignantly displayed in the conversation that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman at the well. The woman was so astounded that Jesus would interact with her that she said this in John chapter 4, verse 9. She looks at Jesus and she said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" And then John wrote right after that, "For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jews and Samaritans didn't mix. Jews thought they were superior and were righteous and were the chosen people of God, and they deemed Samaritans unclean. In our focal passage, there were 9 Jewish lepers, and the leprosy made them unclean. So because of their uncleanness at that particular point in time, they didn't mind associating with a Samaritan leper. They were all unclean. Whether you were a Samaritan or a Jew, the leprosy made you unclean. So they decided that they would commune together. This is how it is before we meet Jesus Christ. Regardless of our background, regardless of our race, regardless of our education or our social status, we are all unclean. There's nothing that we can do to find merit before a holy and righteous God. In fact, Romans 3, verse 10 says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." So as Jesus is traveling through Samaria and Galilee, people undoubtedly know about his healing power. So this is why these 10 unclean lepers come out to meet Jesus. They got as close as they could. They stood afar off because of their uncleanness, but they got as close as they could. And when you look at our focal passage in Luke 17, it says that they came out to meet him. They stood afar off. And then in verse 13, it says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" Here you have 10 unclean people who are asking for mercy. These men were desperate. They were so desperate, they didn't pull Jesus off to the side. They didn't meet him in an uncrowded area. They met him at the edge of town. They were ready. They were desperate, and they publicly cried out for Christ. When these men cried out, Jesus responded. If you look at verse 14, he gives them some directions. He says, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And so it was as they went, they were cleansed. In other words, as they traveled on their way to see the priest, they were being transformed. Unlike our leper in Luke chapter 5, who had an immediate cleansing, these lepers were cleansed on the way to the priest. Can you imagine? You spent a lifetime in quarantine and separation. And you've had some form of community with these 10 men. And as you all 10 are traveling, and as you all have different disfigurations on your face, on your limbs, in your skin, as they travel, they're being renewed. They were taken out of quarantine. Their life was truly transformed. However, in our focal passage, there's also a huge problem. And it could happen to us just as well in a post-corona world. And the problem is forgetting. Unfortunately, during times like these, there are people who start taking an interest in the things of God because of the stress of the environment that they're currently living in. And after that stress subsides and their environment returns back to normal, how many times have we seen their prayers subside, their Bible reading subside, and the discussion of the things of God will come to an ebb? It reminds me of a story of a friend of mine who lives in New Jersey. Shortly after 9/11, we were talking about the increase in church attendance that both he was experiencing at his church in New Jersey and we were experiencing in our community here in Texas. And he told me that after the first Sunday, after 9/11, the first Sunday, you could not get a seat in their church. It was packed, standing room only. The second Sunday, it was still crowded, very crowded, but it was not standing room only, and the crowd was smaller. The third Sunday, it was back to just a normal Sunday and the normal size of the congregation. Why is that? Why do you see a renewed interest in the things of God during times of stress, and it tends to diminish when things go back to normal? I think it's safe to say because there are people in the crowd who are interested in what God can give them versus what they should be giving to God. And this is what you see in our focal passage. 9 lepers forgot about God, only one remembered. Let's go back to our focal passage again, verse 14. So when he saw them, he said, this is referring to Jesus, go show yourselves to the priest. He gives them some instructions. Go show yourselves to the priest. And they obediently went. So as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. I love how Luke describes that. 9 out of the 10 don't go back. The Samaritan, the one least likely out of the group, the person that just because of his race is deemed unclean, he comes back and he falls down on his face and he glorifies God and he worships Jesus Christ. He didn't forget. This remembrance gave him something more than just physical healing. Look in our focal passage at verse 17. It says, so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now let's talk about the 10. The 9, the Jews, they had a temporary physical healing. They followed the directions of Jesus Christ. They went to show the priest. As they were going on their way, they had a physical healing. But we know that those 9 eventually died. It was temporary. However, the Samaritan had something more. He went. He had the same physical healing as the 9, but something remarkable happened. As he returned and as he worshiped Jesus, as he fell down on his face, as he gave God the glory, look at what Jesus tells him. He says, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. In the original language, it literally means that he was saved. He was saved for eternity. He has salvation because he worships Jesus Christ and gives God the glory. 9 had a temporary healing, but the Samaritan was saved for eternity. Now, you may be in your house today scared to death that you're going to get corona and that you're going to die. It reminds me of the pastor who preached my dad's funeral. He said something, and I've used this before in sermon illustrations because it stuck with me all these years. At my dad's funeral service, he made this statement. He said, we all have a terminal disease. Isn't that true? We all face death. We may get there in a different way. You may die of a heart attack. I might die of cancer, but we all have a terminal disease. It's called death. Our terminal disease is called death. We all face death. It's kind of like the old life insurance salesman who says that it's not if you die, it's when you die. Death is inevitable. And yes, we pray for a vaccine for corona, and hopefully it will be in the next 12 to 18 months where we can get vaccinated and our life can turn back to normal. But a corona vaccine doesn't protect you from heart disease. A corona vaccine doesn't protect you from cancer. A corona vaccine doesn't protect you from a fatal car wreck. We are all going to die, and we are all going to meet God face to face. And in fact, in Hebrews 9, verse 27, that's what it says. Hebrews 9, 27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment, we are all going to face a holy and a righteous God. And my friends, you don't need to be like the 9 lepers who had a temporary reprieve, temporary relief, a temporary healing. I pray you're like the Samaritan who returns and glorifies God and finds life because he did not forget. There is a danger in forgetting. I think it's safe to say that after 9/11, our society returned back to normal, and for the most part, that brief burst of interest in things of God ebbed away. We don't need to forget. Just as experts say that corona may change our society from this point on in a post-corona world, I would say that we don't need to go back to quote unquote normal in a post-corona world. People have for years taken church attendance for granted. It's always going to be there. Well, during this unusual and unique episode of history, I think we'll all agree that we shouldn't take our church attendance for granted. We shouldn't take the fellowship that we have with brothers and sisters in Christ on a regular basis for granted. It's something of joy. It's wonderful. It's what God intended His church to be, and we don't need to take that for granted. I think people have reordered their lives in some ways. I see more families out walking, and people have extra time, and with that extra time, people have picked up the Bible more, and they've prayed more, and we don't need to take that for granted. You and I can turn off a television and spend more time with God, or get away from the computer and spend more time with God. We don't need to take that for granted in a post-corona world. We face great challenges going forward, and we are going to have to rely upon the Lord to see us through in the upcoming weeks and months. And we need to rest in Him. We need to rely upon Him. And then when things get back to normal, we do not need to forget. We need to return to God and give Him the glory. Join me in prayer, please. Father, I just pray that as we look past or look in the future to a post-corona world, that we don't take You for granted, that we don't take Your deliverance for granted, that we don't take Your strength for granted, or the wonderfulness of Your word, or the congregating of the saints. I just pray, Lord, that we would always remember the lessons that we learned through all of this. And I know we've got more lessons coming up. I pray, Lord, that during this time that we would seek You. But in seeking You, we would stand fast and firm in our commitment to You. That we wouldn't forget about You in the good times. That the sanctification that You wring out of us in our lives during this time as believers, that we would stay true to that. Lord, I pray for people that don't know You today, that with all of the confusion going on, that they would look to You, and that they would turn to You and ask You into their hearts and make a commitment to be a follower of Christ. I pray, Lord, that our society would realize how fragile life is, but that You are the sustainer of life. You're the giver of life. And I pray that we would proclaim that to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen.